the baccalaureate that took place last week. Brianna's going to stay here in town in Great Falls. That's good to know. Good to have you stay here. And we look forward to all that. Father, I ask you just to give me the simple words to share this morning, to add to what has already been a wonderful time in your presence. We come to fellowship because in and of ourselves we are not adequate. We need the Spirit of the unseen God. We need the presence of the unseen God. And we need the power of the unseen God. And we need to get a hold of it, Lord, that there actually is an unseen God. And everybody says, I do have 16 different sermons for you this morning, and I'm eliminating 15. Because I know what the punchline is, and I know that's what God wants you to hear. Sometimes we speakers, we want to build ramps up to where we're going. The punchline, in case you missed today's message, for we who are Christians, for we who are born-again believers, for we who the Spirit of God actually lives within, when we become Christians, we have life of the Spirit within our bodies, and we then are in partnership with God to walk out our life living in the Spirit. It's not something you have to get up in the morning and think about. It's something that happens because there's a Spirit in you that's different than the Spirit that you came to earth with. There's two of you. Spirit of God is within you and your own spirit. To the point of being saved, we lived, which, I don't know who came up with this term, we lived in the flesh. Well, how else could you live? You know what I'm talking about? That word flesh is such a horrible feel to it. But that's how we lived. We lived to serve ourselves. We were born with that mentality. We were born with that attitude. And then when we receive Jesus Christ as our Savior, the Bible says, I stand at the door and... Oh, come on, it goes better than that. It goes knock, knock, knock. Remember that? I stand at the door and if anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in. Well, now it's crowded. There's two of you. And the early church, first, they said to Peter, would you quit with this long sermon? What can we do to be saved? He says, call on the name of the Lord. Repeat. You'd be baptized and you'll be saved. And they were. Jesus told them to hang out in Jerusalem until my Spirit comes and you will be empowered by God. And they did. Including who do we think? The mother of Jesus. So, those outside of the room, they said, bah, they're not so spiritual. What they are is inebriated. Peter says, this, we're not inebriated. Nobody else would stand up. So finally Peter says, we're not inebriated. This is what the prophet Joel said was going to happen. And believe it or not, it's happened. It's a new day. And Acts, I just want to get this out. Acts chapter 2, verse 40. For those that say I never use this Bible. Then Peter preached a long sermon telling about Jesus and strongly urging all of his listeners to save themselves from their nation. Skip down to verse 44. And all the believers, they heard this. And all the believers met together constantly and shared everything with each other, selling their possessions and dividing with those in need. They worshiped together regularly in the temple each day, met in small groups and homes, shared their meals with great joy and thankfulness, praising God. The whole city
was favorable to them, and each day God added to them such as were saved.
There was a moment of kumbaya going on in Jerusalem. Everything was going their way. I think I'm going to come back, I'm not doing it today, you can be assured, to this whole deal about, and all the believers met together and shared everything with each other. They sold all their possessions and gave to everyone that. What century did that go away? And aren't you glad it did? And you're, somebody are going to say amen, I know. Huh? What, you didn't want to live in the Christian commune? I'm going to come back to that. It sounds just like I want to hear what God hopefully has to say through me about selling all we have and living together. The word of the Lord for us today, probably primarily to me. Hello, Mom. Mom's now watching. After last week, she's watching every program. Stand still. Keep still. Let it lie. Woo-hoo! And keep dry. That is the word of the Lord for us. Stand still, keep still, let it lie, stay dry. And the nation of Israel, as they exited Egypt, and they saw the chariots coming at them, and the horses. How many of you are afraid of a horse? I am. I know some of you are like horse whisperers. They got the biggest mouths. You know what I'm talking about? Oh, they can't bite you. How many of you know a horse can bite you? How many of you know a horse fly can bite you? And the chariots are coming, rattle, 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 big chariots. Even on TV westerns, when the wagons come flying through town, everybody scatters, right? Because a wagon and a horse is too much. 600 of the best chariots, Pastor Joe. And then all the also-rans, I don't know, they must have been the second best chariots. They were all coming to get the Israelites, who had left Egypt because Pharaoh had had enough, but Pharaoh changed his mind. And he said, what were we thinking? Not only did we let go of those who were servants to us, we gave them all of our goods. What were you thinking? Well, you know about this, all the people that died, and they asked me for my jewelry, and I didn't want any problems, so I gave it to them. Well, why did you give them your? Well, and they gave them almost all of their wealth simply because the Israelites asked, and they walked out of well. Now things have turned, and the chariots and the horses are coming after them, and they had told Moses way back when they were making bricks, Moses, leave us alone. We might be servants here, but you're causing us problems. The more you do for us, the more problems we have. How many of you this morning would just as soon God leave you alone? And that you are, yes, and I am, we're serving things and we're bothered by things that aren't from God, but that's better than when God gets a hold of us. Why does God have to be like this root canal doctor that went to deal on my root canal? First one didn't work. I had to have two canals, mind you, because the first one failed. They don't quit until they're what? Until they're done with the root. Hello? Why doesn't God leave us alone? As bad as things are oftentimes better the way they are than when God goes to work on us. That's the word that God is saying. It's the truth. Why doesn't he leave us alone? 2 years ago, I was having a good time in Seattle. Know what I'm saying? Seahawks weren't doing so good, but I was having a good time. Why does God come to us to move us further and further and further towards him. E. Stanley Jones wrote a book called The Divine Yes. God calls to you, God speaks to you, and has you move to a position in him, and you think, okay then, I'm there. Only years, months, moments, later, God speaks to you again and says, I want to call you a little further. Just when you were comfortable here. Well, when does this end? When you're 50? How many 50-year-olds think it ends when you're 50? How many 90-year-olds think it ends when you're 90? Yeah. It does not end until he's finished. It's not over when you know who sings. It's over when God says it's over. And God comes to us and to these children of Israel, and they're facing the Red Sea on one side and Glendive on the other. Well, the desert. They said, we told you, Moses, to leave us alone. We told you. We were thinking it over. How many years had they been in bondage? 430 years. They didn't want to make a rash decision about leaving. Let's think about this. That's before, if you take it back 400 years, 1608, and before then, I don't even know what happened in America in the 15-whatever. Some kind of war. 1608 was a Smithtown or something, and 1620 is a Plymouth Rock. Remember that old story, whatever? That's 430 years they were in bondage. And when Moses came and delivered them, when God said it's time to leave, the children of Israel said, why don't you leave us alone? And Moses said to them, stand still and watch the salvation of the Lord. How many of you know the flesh does not like to stand still? I don't. I like to ensure the salvation of Mark. I want to make sure it's going to be okay for Mark. And I've got just what God needs, a plan. I'll help him out up there. He's busy up there, a lot of people. Stand still when things aren't going so well. And a little bit further in the narrative, there's several versions there, but the language that's spoken is to keep your peace or to be still. Stand still, don't make movement, and to keep your peace and to be still. Whew, that's worse than standing still. When you know that if you delivered just the right word to the right person at the right time, you'd win that argument. My dad, bless his name if you're watching up there, God bless you. Tough guy, but he got on this thing the latter part of his years where let's give it to the Lord. Dad, you can't give everything to the Lord. Well, let's just give it to the Lord. Ever worked with somebody or some situation where you could maybe adjust it, but then the little voice within you said, just let it go? In his last couple years of life was in different group homes, and he kept getting challenged people. And when I would go out there, I felt it was my duty to do stuff. I've come all the way out here. I got to do stuff. I got to help. Well, we'll move this guy out, Pilgrim. There's lots of places this one can go and that one can go. My dad's got to have sleep. Just let it be, Mark. Well, let's let the Lord handle this. Oh, Dad, I'm sick of that. You ever get sick of letting the Lord handle things because he is not handling things? Sorry, that's the truth. Get sick of letting the Lord handle things because he is not handling things. It's not happening. The chariots are coming. The guys with the long spears that penetrate are here. And they're in a bad mood. Let's let God handle it. Can you think as you sit before me this morning, and I know you can because I hear the voice of God speaking to me, of the multitude of situations that we're in this morning where we are struggling within the two spirits within us, the flesh and the spirit of God, Christian. And God speaks to you this morning and to me. Zechariah 4:6, not by might, not by power, your power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord, this mountain shall be removed. Amen. Not by might, not by power. Well, why doesn't he get with it? You preachers are all the same. You say what he's going to do, but he never does it. I know. You know, God wasn't happy about the Israelites being in bondage. And he's not happy about me and you being in bondage. Well, I'm not in bondage, aren't you? Am I not in bondage to habits and traits and attitudes? This is a strange thing, this living in the Spirit. Peter, before the Spirit came, Peter lopped off ears. Now what are we supposed to do? We're supposed to lend our ears. You get the lop off and the lending? Yeah. What do you mean by that? When Christ has come to us in problem-solving issues in our life, now God is asking us to listen. That's a terrible thing. No, I have the answer. No, God's asking you to listen to others. It's a definition of love, amen? Even if you know what they're going to say, sit and listen and allow them to share of themselves. Ooh, what if I don't agree? I didn't ask you to agree. God's not asking you to agree. He's asking you to be patient with your spirit and listen to others. Woo, amen. It's hard. This new person, this living in the Spirit, now we're supposed to be living in love. Not just having an answer for everybody that moves on every situation, everywhere. God's asking you to listen to others. Elijah, you man of God, 450 prophets of Baal. Any speaker alive loves to tell that story. He poured water over the sacrifices. He said, go ahead, call down fire from heaven. Or is your God busy? Is your God at the mall? Is he online? Is he in the restroom? That's what the Bible says. He was taunting the four. And you know what the Bible says? It says they were so upset, they were cutting themselves with rocks and bleeding. Saying, this Elijah is making a mess of us. This fire better fall from heaven. And it did not. And afterwards, Elijah pours water over everything and does all this kind of thing. And he speaks and fire falls from heaven. Not by might. Not by power. But by the Shekinah Spirit of the living God. Oh, that's just a story. You believe that? Well, if I had time, I'd tell you stories about my life where fire has fallen from heaven to my life at the last moment. And we could go down and around this building today and you would hear that God answers prayer by the Spirit of the living God. Amen? Yes, you would. But then Jezebel heard about it. 450 men he could handle. One woman. Which we understand. No, I mean, it's not like this is rocket science. Elijah says, I am out of here. And he runs and runs and runs and falls down, and he says, God, kill me. And the angel wakes him up, gives him some bread and some water, and says, you got to go further than this. Oh, but Gary makes me eat this 10-grain bread over where do we eat? 5 loaves up here in Great Falls? This food that he ate, this bread he ate, he went on for 40 days. It said it gave him the strength to go on for 40 days. That's bread. Amen? Laced with something. God pulled him aside and he said, Elijah. And the wind began to blow. Elijah wanted to hear the voice of God, and the rocks broke, and there was no voice of God. And the fire came and burned and burned, and there was no voice of God. For the sake of speed, Elijah heard something that the Bible says was a whisper. And at that point, he wrapped up his face because he was going to meet God. And he stepped out of the cave he was in, and there was the still, small voice of the Lord. We must learn to listen to the still, small voice of the Lord. As we walk. Have you not had a problem that you needed answering right away and you went in the prayer room and you gave God 10 minutes to give you an answer? 10 minutes, Lord, I know you can do this. The Bible says, when you seek me with your entire whole heart, then you will find. What God is asking us this morning, he's asking people all over the world, Christians all over the world. I think Renee was telling me they're praying for their new church, having a week of prayer or something like that in the new church. Prayer is not a punishment unless we're doing it the wrong way. I was going to go in here the other day, and Sandy was in there praying. I took one step in, and Sandy was deep in prayer. This Sandy right there. She was enjoying the presence of God. Nobody made her go in there. She didn't sign a card. She wasn't on video. She was enjoying the presence of God. Learning to live in the Spirit, we have to learn to listen to the voice of God and hear it. And in order to do that, we have to spend quality time with God so that when we hear that voice, we respond to it. Acts chapter 3, Peter and John, on their way to the 3 o'clock prayer meeting, the Bible says, as was their custom, the man who was crippled for 38 years was laying there, as was his lot in life. They took him there 38, 40 years. How many times do you think Peter and John walked by that crippled man before the day Peter had heard it from the Lord saying, this is it? As we walk and live in the Spirit, we must cultivate the Spirit person within us so that we can hear what God is saying. And we can't cultivate that by thinking about it. We must spend time like Jesus did in a genuine, loving relationship with God. Be still. Keep still. Let it lie. Do you have anybody you're having trouble forgiving? Sure, Sandy. Sandy, put your hand up. Is there anybody in the room who is not having trouble forgiving somebody? Might even be me. Don't raise your hand. And you need to speak to yourself. Self, let it lie. Stand still. Keep still. Let it lie. Isaiah 55, 9, God's ways are higher than our ways. I don't care. I want to see what God's up to. He's not obligated to let you know what he's up to. God told Moses, and he heard it. Okay, quit your praying. He said, now raise your rod and go across the water, go through the water. The waters parted and the Israelites went across on dry land. And here come the chariots. Clickety-clack. With those big mouth horses of theirs. Who scare me. And bite me. Trust. Have faith in God. That's what I heard this morning in here. I was a missionary for 6 weeks in Samoa on the other side of Hawaii. Kind of liked Hawaii, but I had to keep going. You know what I mean? Got off the airplane and they were singing, I fought to a leatua, something to that effect. Have faith in God. Have faith in God for the answer. Did you sing that song here? Have faith in, we're not going to sing it. Have faith in God. Have faith in God for the answer. Have faith in God. Have faith in God. Have faith in God. Have faith in God for the answer. Faith in God. When we have faith in God, we can lay the flesh down. When we don't have faith in God, the flesh has to be our God. The mother looked to the child and said, if he had only let us alone in Egypt as the chariots came. Oops. A wheel fell off the chariot. Wait a minute. Two wheels. I can't believe it. Three wheels. These big, tough, mean, horrible killers are stuck in the sand. Even those mouth-biting horses, they can't pull the chariot because they're stuck because the wheels come off. You got some people after you. You have faith in God and you watch the wheels, when he's ready, come off. God can knock. All he did was take a little wheel off. The horse was still big, still bit. Chariots were still gleaming. All he did was take a wheel off. And now he's whipping and whipping and whipping and going nowhere and stuck in the sand. God not only was disgusted because his people were in bondage, he was going to destroy them. But he didn't take time to tell everybody what he was up to. He allowed children of Israel to draw the enemy out into the water, not only to discipline them, but to destroy them. And the waters closed back over. And those that were whipping the horses in the sand, they drowned. The horse and rider were thrown into the sea. I told Renee I was going to say that. The horse and rider! Come up, and it's just for fun, Renee. We're close now. Come on up, Renee. Even if I sing alone. I will sing unto the Lord. He has triumphed gloriously. How did he do it? Through a great, big, powerful, he did it by having the wheels come off of their activity. It was so close. But when God was ready, the wheels came off. The chariot stopped. Word of the Lord this morning, stand still. Don't do it in the flesh. Be still. Find a way of controlling your mouth. Ask the Holy Spirit to clean up your heart. Out of the heart, what? The mouth speaks. Clean up your heart. It has a great effect on your mouth. Amen? Let it lie. The Adamic nature in all of us wants revenge. Let it lie and stay dry. Stay dry. Step back. Not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. I had 12 years to drive in circles in a bus, and I said, I don't know what I did, but I'm never going back to the ministry, ever. That was the first thing I said. And if I ever did, I'm not doing it in my own flesh. What a horrible thing. Nehemiah says, the joy of the Lord is our strength. You ever get so tired and so worn down, the last thing you ever want to do is go to church. Or give offering. Joy of the Lord is our strength. You're right. I won't sing it. But how does the words go? Do you have the words for me? Let me just read it to you. And then we're going to close. I will sing unto the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and rider, that biting horse and rider, thrown into the sea. The Lord's my God, my strength, my song, has now become my victory. The Lord is God, and I will praise him. My Father's God, and I will exalt him. The Lord is God, and I will praise him. My Father's God, and I will exalt him. Against the evil spirits, we war not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and evil spirits in the heavenlies. That's who the Holy Spirit is after. When we need to get out of the way and let God do what he does best, move us closer and closer to him. That's the song. Stand with me and sing this. Be still and know that I am God. Sing it the best we can. Be still and know that I am. Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know. Receive this word with you. Let's sing it again. Receive what he's saying to you. Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I. Thank you, Lord. Lord, thank you for your word. Deliver us. It's uncomfortable, but God, deliver us from ourselves. And destroy the enemy, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. And if our young friend...